Alt NPR.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from AT&T, the passion to invent, the drive to deliver. The new AT&T, your world delivered.
Hi, this is Mike Pesca on gambling, once again stretching the definition of gambling. My last three podcasts were one I did on the Iowa presidential market, one I did on amniocentesis, and then there was my four-part series on animal husbandry. You know, and you're saying, when's the gambling going to come? Well, not really this week either. But I was doing another report, and it was on a group of 60-year-old and over women who are trying out to be New Jersey Nets dancers. And in that report, I quoted from the Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. I said, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. It's a famous verse. And it's one of those quotes that's actually famous because it's more often contradicted than agreed with. Here's another one. Tom Wolfe said, you can't go home again. And the only reason people bring that up is to say, now, even though Thomas Wolfe said you can't go home again, here's a guy going home. Another example of that, this is perhaps the Uber example. F. Scott Fitzgerald once said there are no second acts in American life, and it's always mentioned when someone's making a comeback. The one guy I can ever think of who managed to stay alive but not have a second act is O.J. Simpson, as we see that time and time again. So the structure is someone will say, F. Scott Fitzgerald said there are no second acts in American life, but Charo is back and better than ever. So this Ecclesiastes quote, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift nor the battle to the strong, is contradicted by Damon Runyon. And here's the only gambling tie-in in this whole commentary. Damon Runyon, who wrote the stories upon which Guys and Dolls was based, who chronicled gangsters and sharpies and gamblers, once said, the race is not always to the swift nor the battle to the strong, but that's the way to bet. And you know what? It is the way to bet. Because no matter how much in sports we want to talk about the intangibles and we want to talk about the character of the warriors involved, if you're talking about the highest level of sport, character and intangibles won't get you to the playing field. They maybe will push you over the brink. And I was thinking about this when I was thinking about the travails of one of the most storied football programs in the NCAA, Army. This year, Army has only 3 wins as it goes to its annual end-of-season game against Navy. It's just been a decade of losing. And you wonder why, and it's pretty obvious. In order to recruit Division I athletes, Army can't do a lot of things. They can't admit anyone into their service academy who doesn't have the very finest grades, the very highest character. And also, they can't admit, say, 350-pound linemen because that guy wouldn't be able to meet Army's physical requirements. So we always talk in football, and you watch the Michigan versus Ohio State game. And people were talking about how Troy Smith, sure, he's a great talent, and sure, he's a great athlete. But, you know, he has smarts. He sacrifices for his team. I'm not saying Troy Smith doesn't sacrifice for his team, but his team is stocked full of physically gifted athletes. Because the race might not be to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but that is the way to bet. And the intangibles, teamwork, sacrifice, execution, effort, concentration, mental toughness, all of those traits, the Army and the graduates of the Army have that in spades. Every cadet will exhibit more teamwork than anyone on a Division I team will exhibit. Sacrifice, it's not even in the same realm of thought to consider what kind of sacrifice an athlete goes through as opposed to someone who's in the Army, going to West Point, going to fight in one of our wars. The sacrifices of a totally different kind. Execution, effort. I mean, these are the things that aren't just instilled in the football field. These are everyday things. There's no such thing as a player on the Army's football team not being able to make the grade academically. In fact, the Army was wondering or was really worried that their once storied franchise, and it is storied. In 1945 and 1946, Army won back-to-back Heisman trophies, Doc Blanchard and Glenn Davis, Mr. Inside and Mr. Outside, and they competed for national titles. They've won a few Heisman trophies because back then, you know, if you were a physical specimen and if you wanted to sacrifice either for your country or for your team, you'd go into the Army. That was considered quite common. But, you know, a few years ago, the Army put together a blue ribbon panel of people to try to get their heads around the subject. What should we do about Army football? They included Tom Osborne, who was the congressman who recently ran for governor of Nebraska and lost, and Bill Parcells, Pete Dawkins, and a bunch of commandants and other generals and people who played for Army. They did come up with a few recommendations. Some of those recommendations were acted upon, such as Army football dropped out of Conference USA. But there were a bunch of recommendations that couldn't be acted upon, such as you should really ease up on the regular travails of the cadets because it's really hard to recuperate from injury if you're always having to drill and do push-ups in your non-football life. The Army wouldn't have any of that. You know, they just can't recruit 350-pound tackles. They just can't recruit the guy who is physically gifted and, you know, maybe not even a criminal, but, you know, not of the highest character. They have such a limited pool to recruit from. The only thing that stands in the way of this assessment, though, is Navy and Air Force, which have winning seasons. They seem to be able to recruit young men of high character and caliber. So what's the difference? Well, Army always says that their academic standards are actually higher, and actually their schedule is a lot tougher than the other service academies. So on December 2nd, as we watch Navy face off against Army, we can maybe think back to the 1940s when these were not only schools to make the country proud, but they were, it was the finest and highest level of football that you could see in the country. Because for all the talk of the small things that don't show up in stat sheets, things like weight and speed in the 40 and vertical leap, that stuff that does show up in the stat sheets, that should probably dictate where your money's going to go, like Damon Runyon said. So after I beat up on Army here for a few minutes, I think the only thing I could do to make it up for them, I can't guarantee them a win in Philadelphia on December 2nd, but we can go out with one of the greatest fight songs. Why shouldn't it be, right? Combine college football with a military institution, they gotta have a good fight song. And for alt.npr, I'm Mike Pesca on Gambling.
Alt NPR.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from Borders, presenting books, music, and movie gift ideas from the Gift Squad. Details at BordersGifts.com.